Debbie, I felt like the Mother's Day message has already been given. There is something odd to me about being a man trying to speak on Mother's Day, as if I have anything to say about it. And what you said, I can't help but think, would be very encouraging to your sisters. Thank you for those words of encouragement. So I'm just going to try to add a little something to the rest of the message that's been given today. If you'd like to turn with me to Romans chapter 15, I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 16, which is an interesting passage for Mother's Day. You don't often hear, I think, messages related to this, but I think you'll see what I mean by this. This text and what I'd like to present this morning is in honor of women. And the main idea is that God has gifted us all with women. Women whose call from God blesses and enriches our homes, work, and also the church. Let's take a look then at Romans 15, verses 1 through 16. It says there, Paul is speaking, he says in this passage as he closes it, I commend you to our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I'm going to pause and just give you background for a few things that I observe in this text, and then we'll continue on. The word servant here is diakonos, and a diakonos is in the male version called a deacon. And in Scripture, Paul gives instructions to deacons in 1 and 2 Timothy. So Phoebe was probably a pastor or minister. It's translated servant here, and I find that odd at times because when the male version of it comes along, it's translated minister, but and not servant. It looks like Phoebe was a remarkable person and sent to bear this letter to the people of Rome and carried on ministry in every capacity that I would enjoy it and perhaps even more. She was a deacon or deaconess in the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. A remarkable statement about what Phoebe has done. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ. Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned together in the book of Acts. They're both talked, they appear on the scene where a man named Apollos was traveling around, and they took him into their home, and Priscilla and Aquila basically discipled and mentored Apollos, and he became a mighty and powerful minister of the gospel of Christ. So there was ministry going on in their home. I find it interesting as well that Priscilla is always mentioned first in Scripture. It's Priscilla and Aquila. It's interesting, isn't it? I wonder if Paul, when he does this, let's see, this would be one of those cases where, let's see, I'm the pastor here at Cherry Grove Friends, and Janet is my wife. If you were talking about ministry team at the pastor, you might mention Arden and Janet. Probably not. At times, you'd mention Janet or Janet's husband. But there, the reverse happens. It's Priscilla and Aquila. So I don't know if that hints at the person that is predominantly engaged in ministry, but it could very well be. It could be that in that sense, their roles reversed and Aquila supported Priscilla's ministry much as Janet supports my ministry. So we have Priscilla and Aquila. greet them, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me, not only I, but for all the churches of the Gentiles. They are grateful to them. Priscilla and Aquila were people who, at Paul's bequest, also went to other churches and stayed there, and they grounded that church. So after Paul did the initial work of planting a church someplace, Priscilla and Aquila would come in and teach and mature that body of Christ. It says, continuing, greet also the church that meets in their house. Whenever you have that, and it's particularly you have a woman's name, it meets in her house, there are many who think that that person was the pastor of that congregation. They risked their lives for me, but not only I, the churches of the Gentiles are grateful for them. Greet the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who also worked very hard for you. Greet, and I'm going to skip a few of these because I find it difficult to pronounce them. Okay? Being honest with you, I'm going to go down to verse 11. Thank you. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Tryphena and Tryphosa, they think were sisters and may have been twins. And they worked very hard in the Lord. Greet my friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother. And you mothers, many of you mothers, know what that's like to be known by who you are with. Rufus's mother is who that is. I'm referred to sometimes as Shannon's dad. Rufus's mother, who has also been a mother to me. This is a grown man, a mature disciple of Christ. And this woman has been ministering to him in mothering ways. I find that very impressive. Janet and I think with our parenting, we'll probably never be quite through with it. There are things that you bear in your heart for your children all your life. Concerns, prayers, hopes, dreams, passions. And there is the ability of a mother and mothering to speak encouragement, deep encouragement, into a person's life and heart. I think that when I was 18, 19, there were some women in a Bible study that Janet and I attended, the youngest of which was probably around 50. This was who we could find to fellowship with as young adults. We went to a Bible study with an older group of people and loved them deeply. But the encouragement and vision for life that they spoke into my life was amazing. It made me hopeful that God could somehow use me. It made me believe, when I found it difficult to believe, that God had a calling on my life that I could and should pursue. And so I'm living out the encouragement by standing here today. I'm living out the encouragement that I received from those people. When it was tough for the Apostle Paul to keep moving, when the stress of what he was doing grew heavy, when his concern for the body of Christ and those churches that he had planted weighed heavily on his mind and heart, I think that this particular person probably had things to share that kept him encouraged and moving on. Who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philegus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister. So it's Nereus's sister again. And Olympus, and all the saints with them. You find in this list of things that Paul is addressing people that he thought were very important to them, and among them are women. Women have an amazing capacity, an amazing ability to make a house a home. It's a home where we learn to live with other people in important ways. It's in the home that we learn to forgive each other when we're wrong. It's where we learn to extend grace when people are difficult. We learn not to set too unrealistic expectations on each other. We learn in the home that love is more than a feeling. It is a deep and abiding commitment that overcomes feelings. I think women, because they come particularly gifted from God, have such important contributions to their spouses, to their children, and to home building. I know I cannot imagine what it would be like to be me now without Janet. And Janet helping me see the importance of responding in different ways than I would otherwise respond. I have grown because of her. She really makes my life work. She makes my life enjoyable. She brings a quality into my life that I would not otherwise have. I believe God is building more Christ-likeness into me because of her. Thank you. Every year I appreciate her more. Every year I realize I should listen to her better. I am my best when I am with her. And apparently there are young persons among you that feel the same. I have the privilege each week of meeting with some remarkable young people, our youth group. We spent some time reflecting a little bit about their mothers. So here are a few adjectives that young people in our youth group use to describe their mothers. Generous, amazing, cool, loving, funny, strong, compassionate, hospitable, multitasking, genius, awesome, creative, happy, bright, energetic, pretty, sweet, caring, darling, cheerful, disorganized, and smart. I asked them what was the smartest thing their mother has said to them. Be wise and think before you speak. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. Be whatever you want to be. One person said, the wisest thing? I didn't understand it. It had to do with engineering. Don't do drugs. If you can handle it, this is one I really liked. If you can handle it and not regret it, and it's responsible, then go ahead. But think first. Let's see, another piece of wisdom. Cut the butter, don't melt it. You think too much. You're overanalyzing things. Well, sometimes you just need a good cry. And don't let people get to you. Some of the things you are doing that impresses your children. She is smart, amazing, loving, and always there. She makes dresses and understands computers. She carries on. She does so much work, her work in the community, her servanthood. I admire her strength and that she's able to forgive others. Character traits that you possess, which your children would like to follow in, include being a nice and caring person, to be both kind and smart at the same time. This person thought that they have this in their genes. Kind and smart at the same time. You know what? I love that. That a child would believe that they are like their mom in those two departments. Isn't that great? What you have contributed to that child to be both kind and smart and be confident in that. You have made a tremendous investment in the making of a strong woman. Perseverance, great trust in God, patience, servanthood, humility, kindness, and forgiveness. These are some of the things. You have an amazing capacity for making a house a home. The next thing I'd like to look at is that women have the amazing capacity for making a living and a life. There are those of you who work outside the home, and that includes an amazing task of work, a great expenditure of energy, and the mothering task as well. It's huge. There are those of you who work inside the home. You've probably heard estimates of what it would be, what it would cost to hire all this help done. And those run around $125,000 a year to hire all the work done. It's always been this way. Women and men, most of our known history, have partnered in making a living. Some of the women listed already, but to include a few others, there's Lydia, Priscilla that was mentioned at the beginning of this chapter. You know that ideal woman that you mentioned in Psalm 31? I tend to think that that may be a composite of a person's life. Over time, they may have done all these things, but I don't think you have to live under the burden of having to do it all perfectly at once. But that person was engaged in work. That person was engaged in commerce. And so you have always contributed to the home and to commerce. It's only been in recent history that men have gone away to work very often and worked full-time and not with their spouse. There was always, for example, Priscilla and Aquila worked together in their own tent-making business. The whole story and point of Adam's beginning is that by himself he was inadequate in this world. He needed someone, not just someone to do the work or meet his needs, but a full partner without whom life would not be nearly so rich. Just imagine, if you can, if they were in a world where there were only men. You. What a different place that would be. There's the making of a living, and then there's also the making of a life. And I'd like to highlight someone that kind of makes a life. I don't see Bob and Phyllis here this morning. Oh, there you are. You probably dreaded seeing that picture up here. So this, I know, is a surprise to you. And probably it would suit her best if it never appeared. But Phyllis has been doing some amazing things. And she sets a great example for you and for me. A person who's compassionately at work, not only in making the making of her own life, but enriching the lives of others. Phyllis, I'm just taking this from the Columbian this last week. Phyllis was one of 40 Washington State recipients to receive the Governor's 2012 Volunteer Service Award. Now that award service, here's what it means to get that. It was held at the Governor's Mansion in Olympia, Washington. Phyllis has been making a difference here in our county with the Human Services Council since 2012. She has contributed over 4,490 hours to the Volunteer Mobilization Center, the YMCA, Medical Reserve Corps, Southwest Washington Agency on Aging and Disabilities, the Vancouver Food Bank, and the Center on Volunteerism. Phyllis and her team members were instrumental in the development of the Volunteer Mobilization Center. That is a response group trained to organize spontaneous volunteers after a disaster. She currently serves on Clark County's Food Bank as a volunteer coordinator of Friends in Service to Humanity, or FISH, as a member of the Human Services Council, and leads the Center for Volunteerism Development Committee. Her smile and vibrancy for life brings joy to those with whom she works and those she works for. Her commitment to strengthening our community is without a doubt, they say, one of our greatest assets. So that's what it means. Thank you, Phyllis, for helping us look beyond ourselves. Thank you for helping us realize better the gift of a life and the gift of being able to use the things that God has given us and to marshal them in ways that it benefits those who are in need or those who are suffering. It's a remarkable example. When you see, well, again, thank you for all of that. And thank you for the ways, many ways that you serve here at Cherry Grove. So there's the making of a life. There's a third area. Women have been an amazing capacity for advancing the church. If you read in the book of Acts, it starts, this amazing movement of God starts when the Holy Spirit fell on the believers who were gathered there. And it fell on both men and women. It said, "Even on my servants and both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." And women have been making the difference ever since. If you look in the Old Testament, in Hebrew culture, Miriam served alongside her brother Moses in leading Israel. Deborah became a judge or prime minister of a nation. And the woman Huldah was a prophet. In the New Testament age, Philip had four daughters who were prophetesses, and they spoke the word of God. Priscilla was a co-laborer with her husband, as I've mentioned. The church met in her home. It's interesting, all of these, this catalog of people who've been blessing the church by their service and ministry. There's a person who's a nationally known person. You probably have heard of him. His name is Tony Campolo. What few people know is that his wife is a brilliant woman who has a PhD and has been capable of pursuing a profitable and rewarding career. She chose to stay home with her children during part of her life when they were young. And that decision didn't bother her at all, although it seemed to bother other people. "So what do you do?" she would be asked. And she'd say, "I'm a homemaker. I stay home and care for my children and my husband." And people would look embarrassed for her and cut the conversation short. So she decided to come up with a different response when they asked the question. The next time they came up to her and said, "What do you do?" she said, "Well, I'm socializing to Homo sapiens in Judeo-Christian virtues so they will appropriate the eschatological values of utopia." "What do you do?" Whether you're a woman teaching the eschatological values of the kingdom to the occupants of your home, or you're ministering in your church or community, God's hand is upon you. And thank you for responding to his direction. Thank you for blessing our lives. We are the richer for it. The scripture says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We thank you, God, for the women of this world who faithfully do your will. Amen.